the spirit of division and torment. Jezebel's spirit and many more. If you would like to order my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, in which we are reading from, just email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. I will need your name and address and we'll mail it to you. The cost is $23 and we will send it right out. The sale of the book will go to this ministry, which I believe is so very needed in the world today. If there is deliverance needed in your home, church, or workplace, you will learn how to understand the harassment of the enemy and how to deliver one who is bound and in bondage. Now we're going to begin on page 69, and it'll be the third paragraph down. And I'm going to read some of it, and then I'm going to go on with you all to read it, and we're going to discuss some things. And you know, in a very unusual way, what happened is I was really considering us praying about the Feast of Tabernacles, because I know this is going to be a very pinnacle point in the time of history for this nation and also for Northwest Arkansas. And I know that the thrust of this particular Feast of Tabernacles is going to make a huge difference, and prayer is going to be sore needed. So we're going to do that. But as I opened the book to see where we were standing today in reading, that we may do our deliverance teaching as we normally do, roundtable discussion, guess what? The book, in the paragraph in which we read, is about the Feast of Tabernacles. I didn't plan it, didn't know it, but God knew it. So we're going to start on that last paragraph. And then I'm going to ask some of you, as roundtable discussion as we are, to give me some of your viewpoints on it. It says, the book of Joel speaks of blowing the trumpets and sounding the alarm on his holy hill. Now, body of Christ, that is what you do at the Feast of Tabernacles. You blow the trumpet in Zion. And the people that were gathered all over Israel gathered together, and they met as one body. Now, blowing the trumpet in Zion is now brought into a different light, as spoken of in Hebrews 12:22. It speaks of blow the trumpet in Zion. You have come to Zion. And it talks about the unity and how perfected Zion has become in the New Testament. So what are we speaking of here? We're speaking of unity. We're speaking of Zion. And that is really what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. So the book of Joel speaks of blowing the trumpets and sounding the alarm in his holy hill. And I pray and I hope that these studies are doing that, blowing the trumpet, sounding the alarm in Zion, Zion meaning among all Christians. And so we have become one. The Jew and Gentile alike has become one, and we're blowing the trumpet in Zion. And we are giving a loud and long trumpet call at the direction of Almighty God. Oh, how we hope that it will be heard. Now look at Joel 2:32 says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. That's a promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. Again, that is a type and shadow of the Feast of Tabernacles. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape. Remember, Zion represents the body of Christ, the true believers. Jerusalem is a type and shadow from the Old Testament of the Christian body. Today, as it represents the believing church, where there will be deliverance among the survivors. Did you hear what I just read? where there will be deliverance among the survivors. This is a matter of surviving in the times we're in. And blowing the trumpet in Zion as a unit of a great and mighty force on earth. Unfortunately, not all will be survivors. Some have waxed cold and have fallen away from God's grace. The scriptures tell us that in these latter days, and that's where we are right now, there will be many who will fall out of grace and turn away from their faith, or from the faith. God help them. However, we know that those who receive deliverance from sin will survive. He calls many, but not all come. Not all feel worthy of the call. Not all will accept that they are not worthy in themselves to receive this calling, but it is through the worthiness of Christ that we must all come. We must all come, and we must all unite together as one man, one voice, one spirit, one judgment, and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it is imperative that we submit to one another in love and that we do move in that direction. And body of Christ, we don't have much time left, like a few days. We went through the time of searching our hearts and seeking the Lord as if there's anything in us that would not be acceptable in the unity of the corporate body of love, because love is the essential part of it. And then in the next paragraph, it says, in these latter days, the trumpet has been blown. We are to go out to battle. Now, the battle truly has to do with becoming a people that are warriors, an army of the Lord that has not truly been established since David's day. And this is corporate, and the unity is imperative. And in order to be able to be protected in these last days, if that doesn't happen, we will not have the protection. We will have the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we will not be able to go through in the righteous way in which God has called us to, in that beautiful protective spirit. It's imperative that we settle issues in our hearts toward one another. It's imperative that we learn love above and beyond everything, and to be able to minister to one another without conflict, without concern, without worry, without frustration, leaving ourselves wide open, as you said earlier, to whatever is necessary to be corrected within our lives, to whoever will. God knows who we are, and he's our judge. Paul the Apostle says, no man judges me but God alone. Why? Because God has the incredible wisdom of knowing all things. So if we allow ourselves to be open for whatever comes our way in way of offense, a way of judgment, we will be ready to thrust forward to the Feast of Tabernacles in a body that has truly been cleansed and ready for the glory to fill us and to overcome the areas in which we're in with the bombardment of all evil that we're going to have coming in every direction, starting from Fayetteville onward. Little Rock onward, all of it is going to start crowding in, and we're going to have to raise up. The laws are going to be changed. There's going to be insistence on things that are not holy, that are not right. It's going to disturb our heart, just like it did with Lot when he was in an unholy environment. But if we learn how to stand now, we are in the last days in which this is going to become the most fantastic time we have ever known. So we're going to pray tonight about this. But before we do, I want some comments from roundtable discussion on what I had just mentioned.
Well, I'd like to drop a note in. Last night at up on the Ark, I had that word that the many hearts will wax cold, because of the things that are coming upon the earth. I wrote this down. So it's being confirmed today what's going on. And then part of it was, you know, the examination, what's going on. And it right now, it the timing, like you said, that you're reading the script in the paragraphs here. If God, if you can't hear what God, Father God, is saying to us in a, like, in this way, you know, here it is, in a book that was written how many years ago?
Oh, my gosh. I think this book was written in 1992.
A living word right now, coming alive, even more so in the revelation. And I hear it loud and clear that in this time that I heard today, that this is a time where the beginning of sorrows, the birth pangs for the church, the pressure that's coming in, it's all to make us become a divine nature character. So those that hear the trumpet blowing within themselves are saying, hey, you know, I'm showing you this. Do you hear me? I'm talking to you right now. Do you hear me? And I'm showing you this. Can you see it? That's the part of the trumpet call, you know, getting ourselves ready as the bride of Christ, but as a wise virgin, where we all rose up. Everybody's rising up because they're going, hey, man, something's happening here.
It's true.
But those that have the oil. So, I mean, I am just, if I use the terminology right, blown away by what's going on right now in the timing of this word that's being delivered to us.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's right on. It's right on. And, you know, God knew from the beginning of this ministry what it would come to sooner or later. He's the one that designed it to be what it is. And the responsibility is ours. And we have to open our eyes and understand the counsel of God right now is coming into our hearts. This is happening this moment as we're speaking. Anyone else that has a revelation on what God's doing right now?
I know what he's doing in my heart, and everything we said is very true, but in my heart, he was showing me at the judgment time, you know, people walking up, and when he says, you know, I never knew you, but that came back on my heart, the importance, we know the word, we know our authority, we know we have got to speak. We have got to be the trumpets. We have got to be the love in the world. We've got to bring it forth.
Praise
because
God.
I was thinking, can you imagine seeing your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friend up there at the judgment seat and they're not going to heaven because of something you didn't do? Maybe you didn't help them so they didn't wax cold. You didn't give them a word that the Lord wanted you to give them. You didn't love them through something. You didn't set them like we have a grave responsibility. We and we have the equipment. We have everything given to us by the Lord. And he's just been on me. It's like, oh my Lord. It's, you know, it's really, I think my husband said, it's sin to us if we do not do and speak to others. I mean, it's in the word. Their blood will be on our hands if we are not giving it to the, if we are not taking it to the world, to those that come in contact to our life. I mean, we're not all going to be up there, you know, in front of thousands of people, maybe not, but we are responsible.
We are.
For the people in our lives to speak the truth, to love on them, to pray for them. Pray. Of course, it's then their responsibility to receive, but it is our responsibility to speak forth.
You know, Peggy, what thrills me about our radio program is that we can do that.
Amen.
We can tell the body of Christ or anyone who's listening the times in which we're in and make it known to them. Because, you know, the Bible says that they will rise up and say, why did you not tell me in that
Amen.
Day? And they will hang the pastors that were not willing to say the truth. It's in Scripture now.
The pastors, the people may not even hang them, but I'll tell you, the Lord is holding them responsible.
They are responsible.
Teachers of the word, pastors have an incredible responsibility.
What a time. What a time, but what an exciting time if we get it right. George, did you have a word you wanted to share?
Well, I had a question.
Yes.
About, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone. Now, is that everyone that... Is that everyone?
Mm-hmm.
But they first of all got to be saved. I mean, they've got to have Jesus Christ. You've got to ask Jesus Christ to come into your
That's the calling
before.
On him.
I mean, that's the first thing that can... I mean, you could take that as everyone that calls on them, they
well,
just...
Let me see the contents in which you're reading from. Where are you reading from, George?
It's Joel 32 says...
And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. That's what the word says.
But if you call on the name of the Lord, I can, in a difficult time coming, why somebody can say, well, I call on Jesus, but they really aren't sure in their heart that they have Jesus Christ in there. I mean, they just say that.
You have someone here that wants to biting at the bit to answer that.
Can I share this mic with you?
Okay. It's a point, I think, when to call on the name of the Lord, when the times are coming, if you got sin in your heart, if you got condemnation, if you got guilt, if you got sorrow, if you got weight, it's going to be hard for you to call on the name of the Lord because of the shame and the guilt. So in order to call on the name of the Lord, I believe your heart's got to be right before the Lord in that time where your conscience is clear, when your subconscious is so clear. Now, I'm not saying that Father God can't touch those hearts and give them a gift of repentance to call on the name of the Lord, but I think there's a action here. And I remember that when I was out there in those 10 years and the weight of the sin was on my heart, I couldn't call on the name of the Lord.
There you go.
I couldn't call on him. Because the weight of the sin and the shame and the guilt and the sorrow was so heavy. It had to take somebody else to come and lead me out of that in the natural state. Because it was just like a dark ceiling of doom and gloom over my head. Okay? I knew in the back of my mind where home was, but I couldn't reach out on it. So there's going to be something miraculous. I think it's going to be all by the hand of the Father. And if I may, Pastor Patricia, I'd like to touch on what Pastor Peg said about how we need to reach out to the people. Like you said, and it bears with us, me, I think the fear that's coming upon the land like is going to motivate the people to come and say, what's going on? What's happening? That's what I believe my daughter's going to do. I've tried to reach out to my daughter time and time. Tried to even knock on the door this last year, closed up. She didn't want to hear what I had to say because I want to prepare for what's coming on. I can hear in her heart, slam shut. But I believe that so much things or activities are going to be going on that the fear that's inside them and the motivation, the fear on the outside is going to draw the people to the place of what's happening. And what we're going to have, I believe, we're going to have the answers. We're going to be showing like people of peace and cheering and joyful and smiles. And they're going to go, what's going on here? And so I think, reaching out to somebody when you have the opportunity to say something is true. But I think the masses and the individuals are going to be motivated by fear, and that's going to be the whip to bring the people closer to God.
Amen. It's already happening. My phone has gone off the hook. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't stop, and people are calling. And, I mean, I saw it for years in the hospital. When people are hurting, they are so open. I mean, miraculous, incredible things in the years I did nursing, but now it's not just the physical hurting that I've saw in the hospital. It's everything that's surrounding, and the phone doesn't stop. And what you were saying, you couldn't break through, I think that comes part of our large responsibility of praying. You know that broke through. People were praying for you that broke through. That thing in your heart. We got to pray for the hearts of the people to receive. We got to pray whatever the Holy Spirit puts on our heart for these people because, I mean, we were talking about it. Elijah says, God's saying right now, dry bones, speak life to those dry bones. And we have to speak life. We have to speak the life of the word to those around us. And we have that power and authority. and we have to take it.
George?
On the scene that's happening right now in the United States of America, you have two different night and day as far as one side, it's all hate, and everything you're hearing on TV, news, media, and your political candidates, it's all hate. And it's going to a lot of people, well, all of the, I hate to say it, but the younger generation, the ones that have not at all been in the Word or with going to church or being aware of the Lord, are really rising up and coming against us that are in love the Lord. And when we go and stand out in the public, there's going to be a lot of ridicule and a lot of, well, probably even spitting in your face and things that are going to happen to you.
They will.
And we'll see that happening to mm-hmm. us, and we will have to be able to overcome that and say words of love or encouragement to them or something instead of tearing them down. And in that sense, that's going to be all of what's happening. It's unbelievable in putting a lot of fear in people. You know, you think about how these polls and that, and they talk about how they can't trust, they hate, can't trust the people, can't trust the candidates, they can't, and then you think about how the sexual end is one way and the lying is in the other side of the spectrum, and all these things that are happening are just like what it says in 1 Timothy or even in Galatians, where adultery and all these things are things that are going to happen before the good Lord Jesus Christ comes.
George, absolutely true. The battle is between good and evil. That's exactly where we're at right now.
Amen.
It's the evil spirits that have been multiplied and the pit of destruction opened. CERN is part of that opening of destruction. And it's the Spirit of God. And that is the battle. That's what we're looking at. Every time we watch a debate, we are watching that exact thing. And this is where we have come to. We have come to, like I said, a pinnacle that this world has never been in before. They've had touches of it. They had experiences of it. But it'll be worse and greater than it's ever been from the foundations of the earth. And that's where we're going. And that's why the Feast of Tabernacle is so imperative. Yes, Tyler.
Another thing, too, on what George is saying is, what they're trying to do is they're trying to wear down the saints, because
mm-hmm.
they know they have to remove us. Because as long as we're in the word of the Lord, they know that Satan and his cohorts can't rule and control this world. And that's why they're so worried about what's going on. And like they were saying earlier today, I was listening to some people talking, and they said right now everything's being flip-flopped around. And even the young kids are so mad and angry at the elderly people in some of these cities that they're starting to attack them. And that's what they say at the end is wrong will be right and right is wrong, because they're flipping everything around. And they've got to wear the saints out before they can take over their dominion is what they're up to.
That's why we have to rise up as an army of the Lord. And I do want to read you a prophecy that was given to New Wine Ministry in 1982. It wasn't established till 5 years later, but the prophecy was in 1982 regarding new wine ministry. So we understand and our listeners understand what we have come to. And it says on page 101, if you want to follow me, it starts in the second paragraph. The words of prophecy which were spoken over my husband and I through Carrie Bolt in a service on May 16th, 1982, at the Faith Center of Escondido, read as follows. Praise God, you've got a beautiful spirit, both of you. And the Spirit of the Lord will say this unto you, I have called you even as a beautiful candle that would burn on the mantel place of the home, a beautiful home. Now, that's exactly how the church started 5 years later. I have called you as that candle, and you will burn, and you will shine. And that wax that would melt, that would drip down the side, is the anointing of God, and that would spill over unto other people, yes. And the flame that I have called to burn in you as candles of the Lord will ignite other flames, and it shall grow unto a bonfire, saith the Lord. A bonfire of deliverance and salvation, and many things shall happen. The anointing of the evangelist shall rest upon you, and that's the radio programs we're doing right now. Even that which is happening in the earth today in a new way. For I am not calling you these things according to traditional concepts, but I am speaking unto you in the concept of what I am doing today. And I have given you a special ability to bring people into the kingdom. And you shall do it even as those in the early church operated from day to day, as they went about their business, even those miracles of God happened. And as you go about your business, saith the Lord, miracles will happen. And that's what we're coming to, Body of Christ. The business of the kingdom will be transacted in your lives, and many people shall stand and say thank you for your ministry. Thank you for being courageous. Thank you for being obedient. I am basking in the love of God because of you, and this is just the beginning. The candle flame is flickering now, but it shall burst into a large flame and consume the work of the enemy. That's the deliverance ministry. It shall start in Jerusalem, and it shall burn to Judea and Samaria, and it shall continue to burn, saith the Lord, for I am starting in your home and in your house, and it did start that way. And I am burning away the work of the enemy, and the fire of God is being established in those places. Body of Christ, that's exactly what happened. In fact, after that word was given, we were both laying on our backs after that. We fell under the gift of the Holy Spirit's absolute power. He said to us, this will start perhaps in 5 years. The fifth year after this was said, I was cleaning the closet. And I went up to where all the tapes were on top, and I wanted to put everything in order. I said, these are out of order. I've got to get them in order. Now, nothing has happened. In fact, I forgot about, and so did my husband forget, absolutely what was said here. And so I'm cleaning, and all of a sudden, tapes fell down. And I went down after the ladder. I went down, and I picked up the tapes, and I happened to pick up Carrie Bolt's tape. I looked at it, and I said, oh, my goodness, this was spoken on May 16th, and it was May 16th, 5 years later, to the day that I picked up that tape, and I put it on and listened to it. I knew God was in it. There was no doubt in my heart. And now he's brought us to a time such as this. We're here now. And all of us are involved in a way in which we have never considered, never thought of. We didn't know you, you didn't know us, but the Lord brought us all together purposely. And just as it would be, I was answering a email from somebody in Florida that emailed us that remembered us from when we visited there and asked, that person was speaking about what is happening right now and how we need to be and how we need to get excited about the times we're in, but we have to be very prayerful because of all of the danger around and about us, and the things that are going to be exposed are going to be absolutely mind-boggling, and they've already become such. And I answered back, and this is what I answered. There is a Goshen for us. The word Goshen in Hebrew means draw near to God. In that place was absolute safety from the destructive forces of Egypt. Egypt meaning the world. And we're of the world, but not in it. It remains the same for us today. At the great Feast of Tabernacles, in the gathering of the body of Christ, we will speak of things to come and the unleashing of his presence as we have never known as a great force on the earth. We so look forward to it. Please pray for us in Florida as we celebrate this great feast. The rabbis tell us that this feast has not yet been fulfilled as the others have been. Thank you, Pastor Vincent and Patricia. This is where we are. Are we ready? Yes.
5 years later was 1987. You started the church in San Diego.
If 5 years later is where we had our table at the house.
Right. And you turned and you started.
Yes. And there was not a church yet, but the first gathering.
Right. Pastor Paul told me that he turned two chairs around in the kitchen, and you were one of them sitting in there, and he was preaching. And I came in a year later in 88, and I came into the flow of this. And I always remember these profound words that he said behind the pulpit up on top of Home Federal. He says, and there will be a remnant of a remnant out of this group. And I now realize that a remnant has come here to meet up with the other remnant that's coming together and to fulfill what the prophetic word is fulfilling right here. So it's a grand time, it's an exciting time, because, like you said, this Feast of Tabernacles, I think this is a fulfillment of the promise that he spoke to you back in 1982, that I believe the flame has been flickering since 87, going and going and going. Now, fulfillment of the bonfire. That's huge. I mean, that is so huge.
That's huge. And when we came here, which is the heart of the nation, everyone we met was drawn here by the Holy Spirit. There wasn't one person that didn't tell us, when we met them, the Lord told me to come here. The profoundness of this is mind-boggling when you really start to consider everything. And when we received the word to come here, you know, I have told you before and I'll say it again, I thought, Arkansas, what good could be in Arkansas? But God had a plan in Arkansas. And when we first came down, we were given newspapers by various people in the area, including Scott and Carolyn. And these articles had to do with prophecies that were written within the newspapers for this area. And it was mind-boggling. The prophecies were one after another, how this was going to be a Goshen, how our water levels are higher than any other place in the nation, how we have natural game here, and we would be able to survive here because of all, well, it's called the Garden State. Is it called the Natural State? And we would be able to survive here if the whole rest of the United States was gone. And I was reading these articles, and then we hear about, Corrie Ten Boom, when she wrote her book, flying over Northwest Arkansas. We weren't the only ones that heard this. There were others that came from other places that told us the same thing. They read her book, and it was in there. And she was sleeping in the plane, and as the plane was flying over the corner of Northwest Arkansas, she woke up with a start. Now, she was in the concentration camps in Germany, went through a living hell, one of the few people that existed to live to tell the story, came here, flying over this corner, was jolted in her seat. "Where are we?" she asked the stewardess. And the stewardess says, "I'm not sure." She said, "Please find out." So she went to the pilot, came back, and she said, "Well, right now we're just entering into the northwest corner of Arkansas." She said, "Here will be a place of safety in the last days." Now, you're going back about 15, maybe longer years than that, when she flew over. She said, "I see angels surrounding this area with their swords out, and will be a place of refuge and safety."
I just got reminded, I was walking the property today. The Lord spoke to my heart, Pastor Patricia.
Yes.
The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said this. He says, things that you have been going through over the years, and you have no clue why and how come, he said he's going to start bringing understanding to every heart and mind, every event where you have a question about in your life. Wherever it is, he's going to bring a light to it. So when there was a not knowing, why is this happening for so long, answers are starting to come.
That's right.
Answers are starting to come. And he says, I'm going to start giving them answers to why I put you through what I put you through. And I went, okay, I'm ready for that last 10-year understanding, okay? Because I know Father God had his disciplinary hand on my life for a sonship call upon my life. I know that with all my heart. But the understanding and the revelation is going to come out to where it's going to be a strong testimony. And I heard it so clear that each and every one that has those questions in their minds and wonderments, they're going to be answered, and they're going to walk in a newness of life and understanding. And you know, where we've had tussles and bustles and conflicts between brothers and sisters and all these things that go on, he says understanding is going to come. Why I did that, why I'm doing it, and it's going to be a great explosion of his glory coming in light, and we're going to be a new creation in Christ Jesus like never before.
That's right.
And I heard it so loud and clear. I was going to say this for the feast, but I'm bubbling inside. I got to share it. This is a word right now.
Come on.
That's alive and well, and we got to hear it, and it's forever who's listening to this, that answers are coming your way. Answers. Answers to the questions that you've had that were alive, but you tuck them away in your pocket, and you forgot about them, and they became weights. Now he's going to bring them to the surface, and you're going to get understanding, and you're going to turn it into revelation knowledge, and it's going to do a mighty work in his favor.
Exciting.
Right,
we have one waiting, but to hold on there, Susan, please, because this young lady's Hallelujah. Been sitting there for a while. Okay, Carla, please.
It's okay. Today, and even right now sitting here, and I believe this is an admonition to the body of Christ. The story about Paul being on the island of Patmos and it meaning my killing, the admonition here to the body of Christ is to go through, not to run away from what we're to die to. And a little melody song that I was singing when when trials come and so forth is the island of my killing, and it's like a little ditty, but I sing that when I'm, you know, pressed on, you know, my heart, and I'm like, or I find myself saying, this is only going to make me stronger. And so, and not to but to go through and not to run from it. And
Hallelujah.
This last assignment that I said yes to, I heard so clearly that it wasn't an audible voice, but it was, the best way I know how to describe it is from the enemy, I heard, "You fool." After I said yes to this, this last job assignment. So I am believing that the living God is going to have his way, and that in it and through it all, that having done all to stand, and that to go through whatever the driving up out of the dross that cannot go into the kingdom of God. So to remain encouraged, body of Christ, to go through the killing process, because in it, he's glorified, in and through it.
And she said it properly, we're going through a killing process. We're dying to live.
I have to say God has brought us, me here. I wasn't going to come. My husband came here first. He was here a year, and I was not going to come at all. And the only way God could make me come is he took our house, our home, got me evicted. So I really didn't have much choice. So
thank you, Lord.
So I'm kind of stubborn. And, well, actually, I'm very stubborn, I guess. So I came here and got involved with a job and politics and things, and then God brought us to New Wine Ministry. You guys happened to be at one of Curtis Coleman's home things. You said a prayer, and both of us, my husband and I, looked at each other and said, wow, we got to check these guys out. And we've been here ever since. So God really can knock you up the side of the head if he has to.
Which we are so happy for, Susan.
I'm very happy. I'm really enjoying this ministry
so
and the people,
we.
Too.
So are we. The benefits from having your blessings have been incredible. Yes, George.
How many years you've been here? Seven?
7 years.
What's seven?
Seven is a perfect number.
Seven is an even. It's very interesting. 7 years.
Isn't that incredible?
The eighth.
And by the way, about this time we drove in October.
I'm going to say it.
Me too.
In 7 years. That's very interesting. At the end and now, beginning of the eighth.
It's so good.
It is so, and how the Lord. Well, I always put. He first spoke to you and Vince about building an ark.
Yes.
Next, Nehemiah. Well, you went through a lot of things with Nehemiah.
I remember that, too.
All those things. And now in Jeremiah and the radio ministry, which is, I know that's the thing that the Lord meant for you now for this region and the word that's been going out, but I just praise the Lord that we weren't out part of your. I'm looking at, I got a badge in the Feast of Tabernacles in 2005, and that was on a ship.
Oh, really? When we first met you?
That's when the first time that we celebrated the feast, and of course, then when you came back, we celebrated for the last 7 years, but it's been a ride.
And you were talking to us about a building that was being built, but it wasn't yet built.
Yep, and we're in it right now.
And we're in it right now.
And Lord, all these different things, complete circle, the beginning and the end. We weren't part of the group coming from California, but we were blessed to, at the time, the Lord and Patricia and I had had some difficulties with in the church doctrine stuff, and
oh yes,
praise the Lord, we got into. But I just think follow the Lord over the 84 years and all the different things that he's. It's all very very.
Isn't
well,
it
it's all his timing, and it's all he put it all together. But I couldn't.
You know, George, what is even more interesting is the problems you were having regarding the church you were going to was the same problem we were having in California with a number of people bringing in that same doctrine. And we had to deal with that doctrine. And here we were working. In fact, at the time we met you, we were dealing with that doctrine with people that have come in. It was universal reconciliation. And we come here. And guess what? the same thing was happening. After we have met them, the same thing was happening where they were going to church. That yep. is unbelievable. Because how often are you involved with that doctrine? Not everybody is. Does everyone know what universal reconciliation is all about? Yes?
They believe even Satan's going to be saved, right?
Even Satan.
Even Satan. Yes. All creation.
Yes.
No matter what he made.
That's right.
And I've never heard of that thing until I yeah. came here.
Oh, yeah. We had it in a church. If I tell you the people that brought it in, you would be shocked.
I want you to shock me after this program.
We will. Because the people that brought them in, you knew each one of them.
Really?
And we had to deal with them personally.
Unbelievable.
We didn't want that brought up within the church. So we were well prepared by the time we got here.
Wow.
And so the word, by the way, of tabernacle in Greek, thank you very much, Randolph, for bringing this forth, skendoma, meaning an encampment. The temple as God's residence, the body as a tentament for the soul, the tabernacle. So you see, the symbol is that you are the tabernacle of God. Each and every one of us are the tabernacle of God. We occupy God's space. In fact, on another translation, 4:6:37, it says to encamp, figuratively, to occupy as a mansion, to reside as God did in the tabernacle of old as a symbol of protection and communion, unity. So temporary residence, the body as the abode of the spirit tabernacles. This is incredible. If we really get the gist of it, we would get so excited. But it's going to take some breaking to really know what God has in mind here for us. And it's for each one that's here. And the body and extended body outward who is going to come together with the same understanding. Now, some are celebrating this feast in all over the world, different parts of the world, including Israel. But their understanding is a little different because they still are doing it in the manner of traditions of men. But when you move out from that and go into the realm of the spirit and the type and shadow is fulfilled, oh, my Lord, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. There's not enough words to say about it. It's just the most wonderful thing ever. And I was sent this, and how perfect, under the umbrella of the corporate anointing. This is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Under the umbrella of the corporate anointing in the unity and strength of his manifested sons in the earth, that's who we are, we carry forth the mantles of kings and priests as a thought process. We take off the garment of heaviness and put on the garments of praise in worship to celebrate his presence. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate his presence together. He is our clothing of the day that we must wear. We put him on. We represent the season and the Lord. And we will step out beyond our limitations. That's where we're going. You can't limit God. Doctrines limit God. Doctrinal theories of certain educations of Christian schools limit God. He's not limited. And because there's been such a limitation put on him, we're not seeing the full scope of everything. But the Feast of Tabernacles is going to break us out into that realm. And it is a realm of glory. You know how we go from glory to glory to glory? We're going to burst forth into a realm of glory we haven't yet witnessed. Amen. Many miracles will take place as they've been taking place, but in such a more extended manner and way. I mean, it's a time to get excited. It's a time to really know who we are in Christ Jesus. We are his tabernacle. He resides within us. We lessen and he fills more and more of himself within us. Is that not right? Is that not right? And so even in the beginning, we read the same books that Mary read. We were enthralled with those books. And when she came into our realm just recently, she's telling us who she was involved with and what books she was reading. And again, the witness. The witness. And the books that we were reading had to do with many of these things. As far as the Feast of Tabernacles are concerned, we're going to be reading, or I'm going to be reading from some of it at the feast. And we recognize the same spirit. Or else they would not have been involved with the same as we were involved with, because not everybody goes there. Right, Mary?
No, I have something I think I
yes.
Can share.
I think the Feast of Tabernacles represents a greater deliverance. When we think in terms of our experience, when we started out being born again, we came into Jesus. And when we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we came into the understanding of the Holy Spirit. Tabernacles represents coming into the heart of the Father, which is perfection. And I wanted to read from Hebrews 6. 1-3. Therefore, leaving the doctrines of elementary principles in Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. What is he permitting? That we go on into perfection. And it's not that we give up the whole area of the Holy Spirit. That's an active part of us. But we start to move on into the heart of the Father. And I think we see that in the Beatitudes, like covered in Matthew 5 and 6. And this ends by saying, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And there he would start out, Matthew started out with what the law was, but it was how we went beyond the law. And the law is love. In the Father, the heart of the Father is love. And that's our privilege in moving on in the tabernacles. And I think when I came in this revelation, it was over just maybe a simple experience in my job. I was a social worker, and I remember that one day one of the clerks came and told me that I supposedly had a case in my file, you know, that wasn't... that should have been in file, but it wasn't. And I remember I said, no, I just can't be, you know. And she was saying, but it says July such and such, you know. and this was July such and such, but it was a year earlier, so it wasn't in my possession. I got really angry with her. And I said, you know. Anyhow, the Lord convicted me and said, turn and serve her.
Wow.
Turn and serve her. So I went back to this gal and I said, you know, I just did not have a right to be angry with you. It didn't have anything to do with the case. It's just that I did not have the right to be angry with you. Will you forgive me? And it opened up a brand new world to me. This gal, I mean, oh, she couldn't believe. Wow. The person in the world cannot believe this sort of thing. But if God does that within a heart, it happens. But that's perfection. That's moving on into that realm.
You know, Mary, you're speaking what we have been saying for years and years. Yep. and years, and very few were able to get the meaning and the understanding through revelation knowledge. Very few. And the biggest problem we had is people believing that it's possible to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. They fought us in every way against that because of their traditions and because of their doctrines that they have learned. When I looked up the word, or we looked up the word perfect, because it was giving the body so many problems and the arguments that were ensuing from it, it meant complete and mature. And you said we're going into a greater deliverance. Why? Because we are becoming more complete and more mature in Christ Jesus.
But we do have to choose it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's if God permits. If he'll allow it if we choose it.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And everyone here has chosen that, or they wouldn't be here. They would have left. And some, and many do, because they don't yet understand where we're coming from. And that's okay. God has to deal with everyone right where they are. Yes.
I have to say that when you're reading all those scriptures, and I'm going, this is my sister. We're in the same tribe, you know. And I'm saying, oh, my gosh. You know, the language, the spirit, I'm going, a melody to my heart. Because I, too, have to testify to this, Mary, that when I was given the teachings of perfection, I grabbed hold of that. And my favorite scripture is Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And I ran with that. And the other one was Overcomer. I put that on. I said, man, those things gave me a charge in my heart. But hearing the law of love, this going on, I mean, it is huge. And I'm telling you right now, man, I love you, sister.
Amen. You know what you love? You love the spirit within her. That's what you love. Yes.
Hey, what did I? That was a. What was going on is that I think what we realize here is that it was already in the seed within us, and God watered it. Mm-hmm. It was already there.
That's right.
Many he has called, few he's chosen, and predestinated to become conformed to the image of his son.
That's right.
So there is a calling out, and I believe the greater deliverance that you were talking about here coming up in the Feast of Tabernacles is moving us out, called out people, a called out people into a greater glory. And man, I'm excited. I'm excited about what's coming up here, man.
You know, I am finally glad to hear that.
It's huge.
It's huge.
This is huge. I mean, if people grab hold, it's just not going and doing a outward thing, man. Something miraculously fantastic is going to happen within us, man. We're going to walk out, change people. Grab hold of this, man.
But it takes a corporate body. Yes. Yes, George.
Colossians, the second chapter, verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. For ye are complete in him which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom we also are circumcised with circumcision, made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh.
That's right.
By the circumcision of Christ.
Amen. Wow, that is heavy. Putting it off. The church teaches in general that we'll always sin. The scripture I just heard says put it off. There's a huge difference. One of the most beautiful things is in Hebrews 12:22, that fit the Feast of Tabernacles. That is a beautiful type, and not even a type and shadow, but a revelation of what it is. It reads this way. Hebrews 12:22-25. But you, speaking of each one of you right here, have come to Mount Zion. Not you're going to, you have. To the city of the living God. We are a city. The Feast of Tabernacles was a gathering together of Israel, all the tribes coming together as one. The heavenly Jerusalem. Now that there is no division, we have been grafted in, we become the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. There are thousands of angels we're involved in. We're not even aware of it, but we're going to become more aware of it as the glory gets brighter. We're going to see. We're going to be guided. We're going to be directed. We're going to be one with. We have come to thousands of angels in a joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. We are the church of the firstborn. Who was the firstborn? Jesus Christ was the firstborn among men. We are grafted in. So the church of the firstborn is who we are, whose names are written in heaven. They are already written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all. Not the government, but to God, the judge of all. To the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Did you hear that? To the spirits of the righteous made perfect. That's who we are. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Not later when you go to heaven, but now. And to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Let us not turn away from him. And if you feel as though there are people within your family, which we have already discussed today, that have turned away from him or perhaps don't even know him yet, let us pray for them right now. And in your heart, name them, for Yeshua hears. And we lift up family members to you, my Lord. And we know that the gathering together is the power of the living God. And here is power right now where we sit. And we lift up family members who have maybe not gone in your direction, who some way escaped the way of righteousness. But you are willing by your Spirit to draw them to your heart. You said, no man comes unto me lest I draw them by my Spirit. We ask that you do so this very evening. Draw those of our family members who are in confusion or who have not yet known the way of righteousness to your heart. Draw them to yourself. Let your Spirit be revealed to them. For the time is short. And let this be the answers to many answered questions or prayers that have not yet been answered. Let it come forth in great power and great might now as you take them unto your bosom. Each one named within our heart right now. And I'll give you a moment of silence to name them. Now, Lord, they have been named, and we lift them up to you. And we give them to you with great faith and hope in the hour in which we're in, that our prayers are answered. For our family members and those whom we love, near and afar, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and all God's people said, Amen. Do we believe?